Blog Talk.
Are you with me, people? Now give me 10 more sit-ups. Ready? Go. Hello, everyone. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and a big welcome to you and to Blog Talk Radio and How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. It's Thursday, January 12th, and once again, we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, and this is our first show of 2012. Yippee! So Happy New Year to all of you, and thank you so much for joining us. We love to hear from you, so please call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Our switchboard is open for business at 347-857-2710. And you can also email us here at goodvibeexperience@gmail.com. That's the vibe, like V-I-B-E, experience@gmail.com. Well, for over 18 years, my guest today has been an advanced coach and trainer in the fields of high-performance fitness, stress reduction, which, whew, the new year brings all kinds of stuff like that, interpersonal communication, and inner awareness. His methods are focused on depth of change and the speed of use within each of his clients' lives. He's also the founder of TakeGiantSteps.com, a company providing high-performance professional coaching programs to streamline and advance personal, social, and professional evolution. So get ready for some heavy breathing, intense sweating, and sheer relaxation. And what I just found out, that my guest is a real chick magnet. Wow. I mean, that's late-breaking bulletin news. So with all that said, please welcome to the show Lyric Ginsburg. Hi, Lyric.
Hi, Lauren. Hi, Lauren. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great.
Well, you should be. You're a chick magnet.
I guess I am.
Well, the reason I say that is because I sent a little notice to all the listeners that you were going to be a guest on the show today, and I received a response, wow, he's cute. And I don't think I've really ever received that kind of response from anybody before, so I thought, wow, we've got magnetism live on the show today.
Beautiful. Forwarding address is...
Hey, why not? You know, you got a crowd. People, well, you know, whatever works, works, right? This is what it's about.
Exactly.
You already tapped into inner awareness. How did you do that?
I guess so. You know, it's a state that you eventually live in always. So a good portion of my work has to do with not making it special, where you have to go someplace and get it, and then when you leave, you no longer have it. It's making it part of your life always. So,
where do we begin? I mean, I'd like to get into that state. Is it a long drive, or is it right next door? So,
it's right next door, and sometimes it is a long drive. It really all depends where you start from, you know.
Tell us how we do get started and what that state feels like, so our listeners will understand whether they're approaching it or not.
Right. Okay. Well, where to get started is you have what we call an inner eye. It's the inner part of you that looks around the world and feels through your senses. So you have your five senses. You have your smelling, your taste, your touch, your seeing, and your hearing. But those all get filtered through mainly one source, and that's what we call the inner eye. You can choose which sense to use at any time, or you can use choose no senses to use. And when you understand that you can use your eye to look inside without using any senses, you've reached a point of understanding what awareness is. And it's just the beginning. It's understanding that that's awareness. But it separates you from the outside world. So you don't need stimulus from the outside world to understand who you are, what you're feeling, and your inner sense of self.
So where would we find that eye?
That eye. So
the third eye. I'm sure that's what a lot of metaphysical people call the third eye.
They do. You can look at it any way you want. I tend to look at it more as an inner eye, because the third eye almost implies that it's in your head. And Lord knows that too many of us are in our head. That has to do with the whole stress reduction thing. We want to be more in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So you can think about this in some kind of weird, like, science fiction way, as the third eye, in this case, would be more towards the belly, the gut, the solar plexus, somewhere in that area, so that it's radiating out and feeling the different parts of you. It could be feeling, you know, all the way down to your toes, or it could be feeling up to your brain, but it's more of that limbic system feeling eye, as opposed to the cognitive cerebral cortex eye. So I'd like to get you out of your head, and even people who think of it as the third eye, it sends them up into their head, which is complicating things. Let's simplify it. Keep it down in the body, because that's where
we
want to go.
Is that where people need to focus on that? So they is that where you, answers will be revealed in that eye?
Yes. Answers will be revealed. You can get more esoteric into whatever's happening in your outside world, those type of answers, but really your inner answers, what's happening for you, what you've, maybe you've been ignoring a certain pain in your body, maybe there's so many things that are happening inside that we ignore, and we only pay attention to them and listen to them when they stand up and scream at us. And we never want to wait to that point. We want to know what's happening inside when it's whispering to us, just at the very basic level. When your elbow says, you know what, I'm just slightly uncomfortable with that. Can you readjust yourself? As opposed to, hey, buddy, I'm now in severe pain and I'm not going to work anymore. And it's like that with just about anything in the body, organs, whatever it is. You can tell. If you've sensitized your inner eye to what's going on, you can tell what's going on before it gets to a problem state.
Well, unfortunately, sometimes, because we're all human, we have, I'm sure each and every one of us has that, hey, yo,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You get the really loud one first.
Yep, and I get it too. You know, if I'm not paying attention, there it is.
Well, you often hear
and then you have to deal.
People say, why do these things happen to me? Or can't believe I injured myself. And
That's
probably due from a lack of not listening to the other messages that were previously gnawing at you.
Well said, yeah. That's most likely what's happening. There were precursory messages that were coming up that were ignored, not intentionally, just can't hear them. And it got to the point where the message had to be so loud that this message is pain at that point and problem. So we want to hear it earlier. That's the key. If I can give your audience one thing to take with them today, and I'm hoping to give them a lot more, but one thing, it's that you want to listen. You want to listen very sensitively, so that you can pick up on those messages and they don't get out of hand. It's really such an important key to health. It really is.
I think that's an excellent approach to anything in life. And how do you take that approach, that beginning, and use it in let's say, your world of fitness and high performance?
Yeah, good question. That is the foundation of my fitness techniques. I have many more. I have my systems are founded in physical therapy, in some parts of yoga. At this point, it's the most thorough system that I've ever seen. And I created it that way. And I created it so that it wasn't so complex that people couldn't understand it, but that they would benefit from out of health and healing into physical excellence. So it does start with that inner awareness point so that they can hear what's going on. I don't want anybody doing a high-performance exercise when, we'll go back to the elbow, when the elbow is already, from a scale of 1 to 10, it's at a 5 talking to them, and they can't even hear that 5. So it really is part of the foundation of the whole physical movement and fitness system that I've created called Spiral Kinetics.
So can you give our listeners an example? Somebody comes to you, let's say I do, and I had a connection with you as a private physical fitness trainer. So how do we get started with the workout?
Well, first, like any other system, I do an assessment on you. I want to see how you can move. I want to see how sensitive you are to your body. I want to know if you have range of motion, if you have just an overall sense of your spatial awareness in the world, with your eyes open sometimes, with your eyes closed sometimes. I can see so many things when people's eyes are closed, because that's when the juice comes out. That's when you can really see if they're able to perform something or they're relying on their cognitive abilities to do it. I want it coming from the heart. I want it coming from the gut, where they know it in their body. And, go ahead.
No, I was just a little tickle. I got all excited about that the body speaks and we're not even aware of it.
Yeah, and the body remembers, and we don't have to be aware of it either. It's great. It does all the work for us if we let it. We just got to step away.
Well, I know the body holds pain, it holds trauma. So if you've experienced pain, it's going to go somewhere in your body to hold it until we can release it and identify it and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you're talking emotional trauma now and things like that.
Well, yeah, but sometimes we don't even know.
Yeah.
You know, things happen when in our childhood or at birth. Who really knows? And then all of a sudden, in this examination of talking to you and assessment, I say, you know, my T-bands, the side of my legs, the outer side of my legs, are in such pain all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is that? And so probably through your skill set are able to determine that. And I also, you have so many tricks up your sleeve, Lyric, that you are also a neuro-linguistic professional.
Mm-hmm.
So I find neuro-linguistic programming so interesting. So for our listeners out there who are not familiar with that, can you enlighten us with what that is and how you use that tool as a way to help people and see where they're going and where they've come from?
Yeah. I kind of came out of neuro-linguistic programming into modern coaching. Back in the 90s, I was working, I even worked for a while with Tony Robbins, who a lot of his work is founded in neuro-linguistic programming. And NLP came out of hypnosis. So the people who developed NLP looked at the people who were practicing hypnosis and family therapy and a number of different modalities and said, what is the overview here? How are they doing what they're doing so well? And they began to break down the patterning. And basically it's the patterning on how we talk to ourselves and how we program ourselves. So by understanding how we day to day, moment to moment, always are programming ourselves for whatever we're doing in life, for our especially our limitations, but also where we can flourish, we can use those linguistic patterns to change how a person sees themselves and sees their limitations and their abilities and allow them to move forward. So So it really comes from, I mean, I'm breaking it down to its simplicity. There's a lot of detail.
What would be an example of a neuro-linguistic pattern?
Let's see what I can give you offhand. A lot of affirmations that are used nowadays are, you can consider them almost an NLP program. A good program is, let's say, I walk by a bakery and I smell the I smell the what's cooking inside, and it begins to show me the pattern inside of like, that reminds me of when I was a child and blah blah blah. We were sitting around the fire and we were all, it was a wonderful time. And so here I am associating that smell with something that's happened in my past. The next thing that may happen is that since I have two good things that are happening here, I may want to go get something in that bakery. Now, it also may be something that's against my present diet, and I'm trying to diet and get away from all that. So as a NLP practitioner, yeah, exactly. And as a exactly, and we have ways of working out the conflict. But as a practitioner, what we want to do is we want to break that pattern. We want to see what's going on in there.
The negativity aspect of the pattern, is that what you're trying saying?
It doesn't matter if it's negative or positive. It's undesirable. That's all. It just has to be undesired. If the person doesn't want to do it, because something that was positive at one point in our personal evolution may now be negative, and that's usually how it works. At some point, something was really positive for us, like that experience. But now it's no longer useful. So we want to break the pattern and set up new patterns.
I completely agree. It's always powerful. You know, patterns, sometimes I think about our belief systems, what we believe. You know, you're kind of born into this world with a set of beliefs from the people that raised you, your parents or people that were a huge influence in your personal life, in your career. And then at a certain age, you realize, hey, that's not what I believe, so now I have a choice to change my belief system or that pattern that you're mentioning and have a different choice.
You do, and it's like the things that you're bringing up are so powerful that we don't even know what else is affected in our life. So we may want to change that, and we go and we say, I'm going to change that belief, but it has branches and roots, and if it's from childhood, we don't even know how far they go at sometimes. So even though we may want to, we see the trunk and we say, well, I'm going to transplant this thing, and then we notice it springs right back up again, same thing, same place. And we say, wait a minute, I transplanted that. What happened? And it's because it has sometimes so many branches and so many roots that they're more powerful than our present choice to just want to change it. So that's part of having a practitioner involved. Practitioner will be able to see and help address all those branches and all those roots so that we can move it over, shift it to something else that's more desirable. And it really is the difference between an undesired state and a desired state. That's all it is, because good or bad doesn't apply. It's just, do I want this in my life now or don't I want this in my life now?
Exactly. And what do you think is one of the main challenges your clients face in dealing with this shift of change?
Well, it really is seeing the branches and the roots. Once they have an idea of what those are like, once we've dug up those areas, they find it much, much, much easier. And if it's done properly with a practitioner who really has their eye on knowing where those pieces are, the shift is profound, it's quick, and it lasts. And that really is the key. A shift should last. If it's not lasting, it means that something's been missed.
And I can definitely see how the manner in which you work with your clients, how that can truly affect their mental health and their fitness.
Yeah.
And even just how their presence, their power, their groundedness, just from the very beginning, and how you can take that and move forward and who knows what you can achieve. It's just magical. It's kind of mysterious because you really don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of magical. And they don't even realize how magic it is a lot of times until they're in the process. Because they'll come through the door and they'll ask for one thing, you know, and I totally understand. And that is our focus. That is what we're working on in a coaching session, because, of course, we're talking about fitness or stress reduction or coaching. But let's say it's a coaching session. They want one thing, and that's what they're there for. But they don't realize what's available to them, the tools and techniques that they could learn to make it so that they could change more than just this one thing. It's the keys to the car that they're suddenly getting. They just wanted a ride, but now all of a sudden they have the keys to the car. They can go anywhere they want, and it's exciting to them. So they start to learn how to get more hungry for how to do these things in their life. And once they start applying them, they start achieving. Because the whole point is to have external results. It's not just internal shifts. It's external results.
Well, you seem to be covering a wide platform of possibilities, and you have a new movement class. So how does your movement class fit into all of this yummy information?
Yeah, it is yummy.
It is. I'm hungering for it.
It is. I get hungry for it too. I get excited to find the next new piece and to dial in the next piece. So I'm very comprehensive. I don't want to miss any little piece of the human experience ever. So I'm always studying what the next piece is in the human experience and living it, too. I'm not just an academic. I like to experience as well.
Well, that's how you share your enthusiasm for it, because you know, you've had that piece of dark chocolate, and you know how good it tastes and how good it feels and the after effects of it, so you want to share it with other people.
Yeah, exactly. And I call that like a bottom end and a top end approach. Bottom end is the experience. The top end is the cognitive understanding. And if you have both pieces in place, you really have a lot more that you can share with somebody. One by itself really leaves out so much information for the person. Mm. If a person needs that individual piece, well, then it's useful. But oftentimes it's more useful to have all pieces. So, yes, it does apply to the fitness, the spiral kinetic techniques that I've developed. And the class itself combines coaching with movement. It combines the ideas, which has been difficult to create, I have to tell you, because there's so much information in coaching. In some ways, it's a completely different animal than fitness. Well, how do you combine them together? But
what do you mean? How do you describe movement? Movement as far as what, like dancing movement, or?
It could be dancing movement. It's not going to be. This is more of a straight up fitness class. So it's different movements that are healthy for the body. But there are movements that are just simply more healthy for the body that the body understands and can expand with. And there are movements that are a little more confined. It's like doing a multifunctional movement with a weight, or sitting at a machine and just moving in one direction. So that will teach you, and that'll teach your body something if you're just moving in one plane of motion. But it really won't get to the juicy stuff of being able to incorporate your entire body and being able to move into some really exciting things. And my class takes you from some simplistic movements all the way into these complex movements and gives you this thread of coaching that fits. And the key here is, and the art has been making it fit with the movement so that it's not just, again, cognitive, but it makes sense intuitively, that a person who goes into the class can go, yeah, that makes sense. He's not trying to force a square peg into a round hole. It feels great, and it works. And that's what I do with my clients.
Wow, that sounds very interesting. And I'm sure that in this coaching with movement class, each person is going to come away with a different experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Their experience.
Their experience. So here you get on one side a fitness or physical workout that has a little food for thought. or brings up an emotion, or I don't know. It just sounds so, it does sound yummy. I'll take two.
Yeah, take two, okay. If you could split yourself in half, all right, I'll take the twins. They can come into the class. The other piece I'll tell you is about the class is that it is geared towards from rehabilitation all the way to high-level fitness. So it is set up mainly as a fitness system so that a person can really explore their physical fitness and enhance it. With the threat of coaching on top of it, there's just no stopping them.
That's very true. You know, and in the many years that I have gone to work out at a gym or anywhere with a private trainer like yourself, it's always helpful to have someone like you who is knowledgeable and multifaceted in all areas, because I do feel that when you are with the right person who can really uncover, discover, remove the veil of darkness or something that's lurking that you don't know, and where you find that place where you can benefit from the fitness, the physical and the mental approach to your life, then you will take that experience into your professional life, your personal life, and it can't help but be better.
Yeah, I'm sure you've, and many people in your audience have experienced it with things like yoga, where it kind of bleaches on the rest of their life, and their life becomes more enhanced. Well, I want to take it a step further, so that the things that we're doing in the modern world with modern methods are now really being enhanced by a different fitness type of fitness class.
But I think what you're also doing is you're empowering people that who they are, and
yeah.
Is quite powerful, and to help them unleash their unrealized potential.
Yeah.
Because of a particular block or a myth or whatever you want to call it, that's exciting. To know that when you can say, man, I didn't know I had it in me, that's amazing.
Yeah, I don't have anything else to say. That was beautiful. Yes.
and that's kind of a yes and that's kind of a, wow, I can go back for more. I know it's there. And sometimes for me, when I discover something about myself, I want to put it in a nice little box with a bow and put it on the shelf. So when I'm in a particular place again where I need to use it, I know that it's accessible. However, those moments of realization are individual at that moment, meaning you can never re-experience that moment. You know, the next time will be different. But to know that you have these tools available to you, I think it's like you can do anything you set your mind to.
Yeah, and that whole thing about the moment being lost, I work diligently at my craft to make sure that people can retain as much of it as possible. Part of his experience, it's there and gone, and that's part of the beauty of life itself, is to just go through an experience and be through the other side. But the jewels of that experience, it's so important to me that people don't miss those jewels and put them in their pocket and understand them and be able to spend them correctly. I mean, if they can't spend what they get from there, then it's still useless. I don't want their jewels sitting in a home on a mantelpiece. I want them able to make their lives better through whatever they get from any experience with me or in any kind of evolutionary experience.
Exactly. Well, I feel much better already just having this conversation with you, Lyric, and I don't know where the time went, but it did go. We can't have it back. However, I have all those jewels that you so beautifully shared with me and our listeners, and I want to give out your contact information so you can enlighten other people as well. People can go to your website, takegiantsteps.com, to contact you, or also give you a little jingle the old-fashioned way by a phone at 310-920-4211. Lyric, you are lyrical. It was beautiful having you on the show today, and thank you for inspiring me and hopefully all of us to unleash ourselves and be the best we can be.
Yeah, Thank you, Lauren. I completely appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Once again, Lyric Ginsberg can be found at takegiantsteps.com or by dialing 310-920-4211. Please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes, as my guest will be author of Barefoot Running, Michael Sandler. This is Lauren Leibowitz, and thank you so much for joining me and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes. I'll leave you with Caroline Waters and Full Moon Rising.
You gotta find you, you gotta live it.